Good morning, men and women of God. Thank you, Russell, for inviting me. What a lovely atmosphere there is here. There's something very special about this church. I've been here before, you see, and I think it mirrors the love and the humility of your pastor. I really love that man. And last year, I did something on blessing, the power of blessing. Were many of you here who were for that there? And how many of you have actually been practicing and blessing people? Well, it wasn't a total waste of time then. That's good, you know. I've brought some more books down with me. They're $2.50 each. I also brought a couple of a few Chinese ones with me because I had it translated into China and Chinese Mandarin. If anybody here has got some Chinese grandparents or something who their English isn't so flash, can you hear me all right? Is the things working? So today I'm going to talk for about 20 minutes. I better just check that. 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, 5, 2 down. About healing and deliverance, because yesterday we did quite an intensive four-hour session on healing and deliverance, and there were probably about 40 to 50 people there, and I think maybe 40% of them were from another church, but a good number of them were from this church. And out of that there, we've got 14 people, seven pairs of two, who I want to practice on you today. We practiced yesterday, actually, but, you know, we really want to develop the healing and deliverance ministry. We really want this to be like a New Testament church where healing and deliverance is a regular event. And not just in the church, really, but most of the fish actually are out in the marketplace. And but, you know, where you can bless or heal your dentist or someone that you see who needs it in the marketplace. And I, one of the things that really has surprised me is the number of testimonies that I've got about the power of blessing to get people healed. I never really expected this. Oh, sorry, I'm just looking for, I just wanted to read this this out to you. Here we are. So this is a testimony I got just a couple of days ago about the power of blessing to heal people. She says some nice things, first of all, which I won't go into. But she says, in December last year, the first healing I was involved in after reading your book was at a church where a person had a herniated disc. You could actually feel the jelly out of alignment in the spine. The person was bent over and in great pain. The anti-inflammatory that had been taken in the morning had worn off, and the person was desperate for healing or more pills. Anyway, I'm just leaving bits out here, but she went up, you see, to pray and to bless this person, and she said this was the first time that I'd stepped out in church for a long time to pray for healing, like hands-on. The Holy Spirit encouraged me to pray for the spine to come into alignment, and for every sinew, atom of their being, blood vessel and ligament to be blessed in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. And she carried on to bless the work of their hands, their going in and their coming out, their ministry for the Lord and every other blessing that came to mind during the prayer. And during the time that she prayed, she felt the really strong heat in her right hand over the spine, but the person that she was praying for didn't feel anything. But to cut a long story short, 4 hours later, that person was completely healed. There was no pain, and that person doesn't take any medication anymore. And then she goes on to say that the second healing I had was for myself. I blessed my own skin, as I have had for at least 4 years, 3 lesions on my back that were ugly but not cancerous, and the doctor would not remove them. I blessed my skin back to health for several nights and checked the following night to see if they were gone. I was expecting them to disappear. I could not reach them myself to scratch them off to see if they would come off, and my husband refused to do anything to them either. They appeared to be growing in size, height-wise, and looked worse to me. My daughter was putting sunscreen on my back, and she said to me, "I feel like I want to scratch at these growths on your back. Is that okay?" I told her to go ahead, and although she has very short fingernails, the first one just dropped off in her hand. She went ahead and removed the other two as well. The wonderful thing for me is that there is no scarring from them, and I no longer have to see them in a place I cannot reach. And then she goes on and says other wonderful things about the father blessing the children and all this kind of stuff. But I just wanted to show you that already in your hands, you have a tool for blessing, for healing, that anyone can do. Anyone who has a mouth, anyone who has faith, anyone who's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And really, the healing that I'm talking about is just one step further on. In fact, if you have been blessing on a regular basis, you will already know the anointing that comes when you open your heart out to other people. There's a flow. You're in tune with the Father's love, and there's an outflow of love, and you sense the anointing. So anyone can do that. So just think of this as just being another tool in your tool bag, another step to praying more intentionally for healing. So I'm going to go fairly quickly through this, but Jesus said, and this is really, I think, is the healing mandate, if you like, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Now, when Jesus said, I think in some translations it's verily, verily, or truly, truly, most assuredly, he really wants to get your attention. He's really trying to emphasize something. And what he's saying is that if you believe in me, the works that I do, you can do also. How many people here believe in Jesus? Would you just show me? Well, Jesus says that you can do the same thing, okay? Now, what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus preached the gospel, he healed the sick, and he cast out demons. In other words, that's not very good on that PowerPoint, is there? Can we? Is it different behind me? Oh, okay, I'm looking at the wrong one. So Jesus really, he said, "I've come to destroy the works of the devil." And this is how he did it. He healed the sick, and he cast out demons. And we see this because there's another scripture that says, when the sun was setting, all those that were sick or they had various diseases, people brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and he healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God," and so on. So we can see here that Jesus, in fact, in another scripture, it says that Jesus healed everyone who came to him. Jesus didn't heal everybody, but he healed everyone who came to him. And we are meant to do the same thing. What is a disciple? How many people here would say that they are disciples of Jesus? Not so many hands going up now. But you see, a disciple is one who sees and does, who does what his master does. And Jesus trains his disciples. You know, I can just imagine that Jesus is healing the sick, casting out demons, and his disciples are around him, and the disciples are watching Jesus. And then Jesus says, "Peter, John, you have a go." "No, no, no, Peter, not like that. I've told you this before. You do it this way, okay?" And then when Jesus felt that his disciples were ready, he sent out the 12. He sent them out in pairs. So he calls the 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom and to heal the sick. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. So they went out and they anointed with oil many who were sick. And today, the people who are going to be up the front, ready and willing to pray, they're going to anoint you with oil, just like those first disciples did. And then later on, Jesus said, "Okay, this is working really well." See, Jesus, he didn't want to be he couldn't get expansion of the kingdom if just he is doing it. So next thing he does, he sends out the 70. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two to heal the sick and to cast out demons. In fact, we see that in the following, where it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name, in the name of Jesus. And he said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, these are demons and other nasty things, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he sends out the 12, then he sends out the 70, and then he sent out the church. You see, we are commissioned to continue the work of Jesus. Now, you know, there are some people who propagate the idea that that was then and this is now, that Jesus healed the sick back then, but that doesn't happen anymore today. Well, it is an absolute nonsense, because we had healings yesterday. We're going to have healings today. So it's a silly, silly argument, really. Because from a practical point of view, people are being healed, miracles are happening every day all over the world. So that's rubbish, forget about that. So Jesus said, and then he sends the church out and he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and so on and so on. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So that's us, church. And we also see, I just need some car keys. I've got some keys in here, I think. Haven't I? Yes, here we are. Jesus said to Peter, representing, you know, I'm going to pick on you. Jesus said, he gave these to Peter, Peter representing the church, okay? So this lady is the church, and I'm Jesus for the moment. And so I am giving the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. I'm giving the keys to the church. So who's got the keys now? Who hasn't got the keys? Jesus hasn't got the keys anymore. The church has the keys. And you see, thank you. You see, this is amazing, because God could do all this without us. But in his great wisdom and in his great love, he wants us to partner with the Holy Spirit to release the kingdom of God on the earth. That's our commission. So I just see myself very simply as a love machine. I just go around, walking around, releasing God's love and power, releasing the kingdom, wherever I go, in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus. And we're all meant to be doing this. Yeah. Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How's that going to happen? It happens through us. That's how God set it up. He's limited what he will do most of the time through what he can accomplish through his people. So he's made himself dependent on us to release the kingdom. And that's our job, to release God's love and power on the earth. Now, the next question would be, how did Jesus heal? And we have a clue here, because Jesus prayed for Simon's mother-in-law. She was sick with a fever. And how did Jesus do it? Well, Jesus actually spoke to the fever. He rebuked the fever. He said, fever, I rebuke you. Go. And it went. In other words, he spoke to the condition as if it was a living entity. He didn't ask the Father to heal. He spoke to the condition and commanded it to leave. And this is how we're meant to do things. You know, Jesus said in that previous thing there, he said, these signs will follow believers. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick. Okay, so it's time that we actually began to move in our spiritual authority Jesus doesn't say, ask my Father to speak to the mountain. He says, you speak to the mountain. Jesus didn't say, ask my Father to bless so-and-so. He said, you bless those who curse you. You do it. It's your job. Don't ask me to do, I'm making this up a bit, you know, but don't ask me to do what I've already told you to do. You're following me? So this is very important when we pray for the sick. So this is how I pray for the sick. This was how I was taught to pray for the sick. I like to anoint people with oil if I'm carrying one around, but sometimes that's not appropriate, and we can simply lay hands on the sick, okay? So here are the steps. Number one, ask the Holy Spirit to come upon the person, because he's got the power. My job is to release the kingdom. My job is to release healing, but I can't heal anybody. And I can't force it either. I am simply releasing it. If you can imagine God inside you, eager to heal. Can I use a rather bad analogy, if you will forgive me? But you know what it's like when you're walking a dog and the dog's trying to get ahead of you and pushing and straining against the lead? Well, can you imagine that the Holy Spirit is actually waiting to lunge out in love? It's amazing, isn't it? But this is honestly how I feel. I feel like there's a pressure. The Holy Spirit wants out. He wants to go out through me, and he wants to step through you to minister to the sick and the hurting. So I ask the Holy Spirit to come. I feel God's love, because love is critical, you know. Look, I know that there are some people here who've never really experienced the love of God. If you're in that category, come up the front and come and have a love experience. Come and experience the love of the Father. It's free. It's free. And it's just there. And so just, we get, remember that really the whole purpose of healing is to love on people. It's to show somebody the love of God. I mean, what's a more beautiful expression of love than to have your body healed by God? It's one of the highest expressions of love, isn't it? And then we speak to the condition, and we command it to go in the name of Jesus. So let's just imagine, there's somebody here actually who's got a shoulder pain, and where you can barely move your arm above this height. Where are you, by the way? I'm sure. Okay, the man over there. We'll come up for healing later. I won't do it now because it would take too much time. But I would speak to that shoulder. I'd speak to the pain in that shoulder in the name of Jesus. And I would command movement to be restored, full movement to be restored. Okay, so I'm speaking to the pain, I'm speaking to the condition, I'm commanding it to go, because I'm authorized to, in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Richard. There is no power in the name of Richard. The power is in the name of Jesus. So we speak to that condition in the name of Jesus, we command it to go, and then we simply release healing. We're not forcing healing like throwing a javelin, we're simply opening the valve and just releasing it. See, it's like we feel the love, we're locked and loaded, and when we speak the command, we pull the trigger. Okay, it's a bit like that. And then this is very, very important, we get the person to test out the part. So if that was the man with his shoulder, I might have asked him in the beginning, actually, what would the pain be, score out of 10? And he might say it's a 10, which would be pretty agonizing, or it might be a 5, which is pretty pain, just to get a measure. But in this case, there may not be that much pain. It simply might be that the test will be, can you move it above shoulder level? But I ask him to put it into practice, because, you know, as the lepers got healed as they went, Jesus said to the man with the withered arm, he said, stretch out your arm. You know what I mean? So we need to test it out. And that's often, or in fact, nearly always, that's when the healing occurs. So it's not enough just to command and to release healing. You actually need to get people to test it out. So I'll just summarize those. Gosh, I can't believe how time goes by. It's awful, isn't it? But those are the four kind of steps. But I need to tell you something else too, because many people who came to Jesus seeking healing for their sicknesses, but many of them actually had demons cast out of them. because the people didn't realize that some of their sicknesses were caused by demons. Now, in the Bible, we see epilepsy, blindness, deafness, muteness, infirmity. I'm not saying always, but most often, these were actually evil spirits that had gained entry to people. And in my own experience, I have asthma, for example. Who's got asthma here, by the way? Can you look at that? There's a man here with asthma. Oh, there's several people here with asthma. Well, I tell you that when we pray for you, almost certainly the entry point for asthma is a spirit of fear or trauma of some kind. And a spirit of asthma can enter that way. So what we do when we minister to someone with asthma is we say, spirit of fear, come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of asthma, come out in the name of Jesus. Then we speak to the asthma itself and command it to go. We release healing of damaged tissue. We get them to start breathing normally, which is trying it out. And we keep doing that until it's all gone. Often it takes more than one go because it's quite stubborn, doesn't really want to leave. Stomach pain, pain that moves location. Sometimes you pray for a pain in this shoulder and it gets worse, not better. That's a spirit, because that doesn't happen naturally, does it? Or the pain moves somewhere else. Pain can't do that. It's a spirit. So there's a spirit of pain that we have to kick out. Please hear me this here. I'm saying in some cases of arthritis, not in all cases, so please don't jump on me, but often arthritis is caused by a spirit of unforgiveness. People need to forgive somebody. Addictions, nearly all addictions have a demon behind them. They're driving, they're compelling, you can't stop, they're compelling. But that in itself often has a root of rejection behind it. And so there are people here, there are different people addicted to pornography here, maybe cigarette smoking, maybe alcohol, maybe gossip, maybe eating. Different kinds of addictions. You can get those dealt with here today. Maybe there's someone here who's been trying for a long time to have a baby. I can tell you now that barrenness is a result of a curse, because reproductiveness is a blessing. And which brings me very quickly to generational curses, and then I'm going to have to pretty much stop. But I have found that generational curses affect practically all of us. How can it not be? But here are seven signs of you being under a generational curse. Mental or emotional breakdown. All these things I'm talking about being generational. Mental or emotional breakdown. Repeated or chronic illnesses. Barrenness, miscarriage, female problems. Breakdown of marriage, generation after generation. Breakdown of marriage and family alienation. Continuing poverty or financial insufficiency. Being accident prone. There are people who have accidents all the time. They are almost certainly under a curse. A family history of suicides or unnatural or untimely deaths. These things are all indications of a curse. And I can tell you that if your parents, for example, my parents, my father was a Freemason. And man, did that have an effect on me. You know, all my siblings, we've had marriage breakdowns for a starter. But I remember that when I got set free from that thing, you know, prior to that, I could barely speak in tongues. I had one or two syllables and that was it. But when Bill Zabriskie, when he dealt to that, the tongues just flowed out of me. I tell you, we don't realise that the sins of our ancestors, and who's got ancestors who've never sinned, you know, but any kind of involvement with the occult or sexual sin or any kind of thing that produces, that results in a curse, you can get that broken off you today. Gosh, we got a lot of that dealt with yesterday. And if there's... Okay, you get what I'm saying. So the last thing I want to say, because we want to go into ministry time, is that healing is not always immediate. And that lady, that testimony I just read out, it was 4 hours after the prayer that the healing manifested. I had a lady, in fact, even Russell this morning, he got, about a 30% improvement straight away, and the rest of it came over the following weeks. I had a lady the other day who sent me a thing saying that she had cysts on her ovaries, and she was in great pain, and she remembered what she read in my little book on blessing, and she began to bless her ovaries, and I think about 3 days later, she went back for a test, and that she had no more cysts. But another case where somebody actually had AIDS. This is in Africa. She went to a blessing seminar and she blessed her body. I'm not sure exactly how she did it, for 2 or 3 weeks. And then she went back to the doctor and she had no more AIDS. So it might take 2 or 3 days. It might take 2 or 3 weeks. It might take 2 or 3 months. In fact, I remember praying for a lady with endometriosis and I thought nothing had happened. But then I found, but 2 weeks later, her mother gets up on the stage. This is at the church I was going to. And she said, I've taken my daughter. It was a daughter who had the endometriosis, about 18, 19 years old, agony. And she said that my daughter hasn't got endometriosis anymore, praise the Lord. So that was 2 weeks later, you see. So if something doesn't appear to have happened today, don't kill it by speaking negatively over it. Don't say, oh, I haven't been healed, because that will kill it dead. Okay? What you need to do is to give thanks. And as a life principle, whatever area you want to have increase in, give thanks for what you already have in that area. It's a lot. I practice that when I go fishing. Okay? No, I really do. I bless my fishing before I go. And I might catch one or two. I give thanks for them. But then I might go for what a long period without catching any more. But what I do is I don't say, oh, this is a bad day. No. I just give God thanks for the one or two I've already got. And then they start to come again. Okay? So this is a very important life principle, as well as a good fishing principle. And by the way, most of the fish are not in the church. They're out in the marketplace, okay? So now we're going to have a time of prayer. So can I ask the people that got trained or at least got upskilled, might be a better way to put it, because I'm sure these people have done it before, to come up the front or to spread out round there in pairs. And while they're coming up, can I just say this to you? If you've got a sickness, then come up. If you think that a curse has been following in your life for any of those reasons I've given you, but I'll tell you, there's other types of curses as well. A woman came up the other day and she said, a very attractive woman inside and out, maybe in her 30s, happily married, she came up and she said to me, I've been suffering from rejection all my life. And I said to her, when did that start? And she said, she had to think about it, but she said, when I was 4 years old, the teacher made me stand on a stool in front of the class and mocked me. Now, I've heard this kind of thing over and over again. You see, a school teacher has special authority. And there was another man who came up. And he said to me, every time I get close to succeeding at something, it's like it gets snatched away. And what we found out was that his father used to say to him, you'll never succeed. You're a failure. You're useless. And that was a curse coming from his father. And we broke that off him. So, you know, there are all kinds of curses. The word curses are very, very common. And if you've had anything like that spoken over you, then get your tail up here and get it broken off you, okay? So, and if you've got an addiction of any kind, I've got men's groups here and women's groups, okay? So that anything of a sexual nature can be dealt with in an appropriate way. But I just encourage you to take advantage of this. We've got about 20 minutes, so please come up and let's make it happen. One last thing I want to do is just pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would bring to mind things that people need deliverance from or healing for. And Lord, I ask that there would be no transference of spirits. That is to say, any demon that comes out of anybody, it doesn't enter anybody else here or the children especially. In Jesus' name, cover this, Lord, with your precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, it's up to you now. Don't be shy.